Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here. Another episode of the Wrestle Horror Podcast. And if you're watching, you see four familiar faces, at least three, and one that's not quite so familiar. But, of course, I'm talking about the not quite so familiar one is Terry Hoover. The ugly guy in the bottom corner, that's Donnie Hoover.
Hey, yep, that's me.
Way to put that over.
And Deadpool's flunky is above Donnie. That's John Orlando.
What's happening, everybody?
Well, you know what? Last week was really, really weird.
Yes, it was indeed.
Indeed, yeah.
So let's talk about last week.
Where do we start? I mean, it was definitely up and down roller coaster, kind of a punch in the gut, and you know, it was a ball of nerves all week. But before that, like 3 weeks prior, was also a crazy time because we had tried to get our ring ready, and we've dubbed her the Big Dirty. That's her name. We got her a Facebook page. She's awesome. So go to her page and like her. She's possessed. She hurts everybody that comes in contact with her so far. So we had got with Carnage Haunted House, and they were kind enough to let us take Big Dirty in there. And, yeah, we found it. Some guy had it on the side of a barn, just for a quick backstory. And we went and found it. And basically, I say we rescued it from these people because they just had it sitting outside in the barn, covered in mud, dirt, weeds, just nastiness. No respect for the ring whatsoever. So we took it off their hands, and like I said, Carnage was kind enough to let us use their space, and we took and we sanded, sanded all the steel, got all the rust and stuff off of it, repainted all the steel. We got new wood because all the wood that came with it was just old and nasty and falling apart. Got new padding for it. Took the old tape off the ropes, retaped the ropes. I mean, we just basically top to bottom refurbished this ring, and because we were trying to get it ready for the Arnold, which was just this past weekend. And so we had like 3 weeks to do it. So it was, we were rushing, putting in the hours, putting in the time, working our butts off, trying to get it ready. And then it come around to Tuesday of last week, and we were just putting the finishing touches on it. We had it up. We had it fixed. We had all the new stuff. It looked great. Sounded great. It was nice and safe. We were putting the corner pads on, the turnbuckle pads on, and talking about how, because it was Tuesday and we had to start setting up Thursday for the Arnold. So we were going to have to, load it up Wednesday night and then take it over to the fairgrounds in the Bricker building and set it up Thursday. So Tuesday, we were just putting the pads on, talking about all that. And then, like, all of a sudden, my phone just, like, starts going ballistic. I mean, it's ringing with text messages, phone calls, Facebook messages. And I'm just like, what in the world is going on here? I'm like, what is all, like, how am I so popular all of a sudden? And then I look, and, like, everybody's like, hey, like, well, what's going on? Are you watching this? And it was the newscast or whatever about where they were canceling the Arnold. So I logged on to the press conference on Facebook Live, and I was watching it. And, so I found out literally the same time everybody else found out. I found out by people asking me what was going on and me checking out the live newscast and, the press conference and stuff. So, I mean, we didn't have any heads up either what was going on. So apparently the coronavirus, was the issue, and people coming from out of for 80 different countries was the issue. So they said they were canceling the Arnold for vendors and spectators. It was the initial response. And then, Arnold himself put out a tweet or a video, and it was on Twitter and Facebook and everything, where he said that they were canceling it, or they were going to reschedule it, not cancel it. And that, that there was not allowed to be any spectators or anything like that. So we initially thought, okay, well, we're screwed then. So we're not doing it. The Arnold's over. So, as soon as I did that, I reached out to my contact with the Kids and Teens Expo, the people that run that. And I was like, hey, what's going on? Are we still on, or what's the deal? And they sent me a text back, and they just said, we don't know yet. and that was Tuesday night. So I was like, okay. I was like, so, you know, like I said, everybody expected me to have all the answers, like all the people involved with our promotion and that was going to be with us was expecting me to give them answers. And I was like, I know as much as you guys. I was like, I'm waiting to hear from them and we'll let you guys know. So later on that night, like late Tuesday night, we had found out that because we had like a lot of special guests lined up coming from out of state. You know, we had Rural Hawaiian Hollywood, who's been on here many times. They were coming from California and Tennessee. Ken Anderson was coming from Minnesota. He was coming in for the weekend. Sergeant Chris Melendez was coming in from the weekend from Impact Wrestling. He was coming from New York. And so they had all seen the same videos and stuff we did. So like all of a sudden the plane tickets started getting canceled. The hotel room started getting canceled. And because they thought everything was getting suspended. And so did we, you know, we didn't know what any different. So, yeah, we were just under the impression that everything was going to be canceled and rescheduled for a different time. So then we come to find out, like, everybody's wanting me to give them an answer. And I'm like, I'm trying to find out. We're trying to figure out what's going on. So we find out, I finally find out Wednesday, the day before we're supposed to start setting up, around 2 o'clock, I got a message and an email saying, hey, the Kids and Teens Expo is still on. And I'm like, well, like all my special guests have already canceled. And, you know, we told them it was, you know, that from what we know, it's not happening. And they've already canceled their flights, canceled their hotels. And I was like, so like half of our event is already gone. And so, you know, we have to fill 16 hours of content in those 2 days. And I would say, you know, maybe 6 to 8 hours of that content was gone. So we were like, you know, oh crap, what are we going to do now? So, you know, I got a hold of the lady that represents the Arnold with us. And, I told her, you know, I explained to her what happened and, you know, she was, you know, you can, and I feel bad for the people of the Arnold and cause I know they were just getting beat up the whole 2 or 3 days before everything went down. And I know she was under a lot of pressure and stress. And, so I was just like, letting her know like, hey, you know, my special guest saw the video of Arnold and the newscast and all that. I was like, they've already backed out on their stuff and canceled their flights and stuff since we're talking 2 days away. And, you know, she was like, well, you guys, you know, we're still on. We never said it was canceled. You got to figure it out. And I was like, okay. I was like, we'll see what we can do. So, I mean, that's where we were on Wednesday. And, you know, we were supposed to be there Thursday at noon to start setting everything up. So Wednesday day, like ever since Tuesday, like my stomach was in knots. Terry was upset. I mean, we were trying to figure everything out. And then, you know, we had like a lot of stuff we had to cancel and stuff if it was going down. And so, you know, Wednesday, you know, all day afternoon, all day evening, we're, you know, talking to people, getting people's advice. What should we do? What do you think they can do? This and that. And so, you know, we'd basically go to bed still not knowing what was going on. We still hadn't got a solid answer. The last we had heard was what we had heard from the Arnold video. We hadn't heard anything different. And then except for Wednesday, she says everything's on. And I'm like, well, that's not what said. So, you know, we're there sitting there Wednesday night scrambling, trying to see if we can put enough work together, enough show together to still make it make sense. And then they said that there's no spectators supposed to be there. So we were like, well, there's no point in us doing a wrestling event if there's nobody going to be there to watch it. I was like, you know, because it cost us, I mean, you know, I don't like throwing numbers around a whole lot, but it cost us close to $5,000 to put this event on this year if we had to put it on. So, I mean, that was a lot of money for, you know, Terry and I to, you know, use out of our own pocket for no spectators to come watch us. I mean, it didn't make, you know, sense. So Thursday morning comes around. And I usually go in at noon to set up and I usually take Thursday and Friday off from work, but I was like, I'm going to go into work Thursday just to see how it plays out. And if, you know, I get off at work at 4, if it's still going on, then we'll see if we can get something there, decide what we're going to do. And that morning I had decided, you know, I went to work, but we had already also decided that we're probably not going to be able to pull it off and it wouldn't make sense of spending that kind of money if we weren't going to get any benefit out of it. And so we were planning to not do it because we weren't going to be able to put out our best product, which is something we want to do if we're going to be at the Arnold. And then around 12:30 Thursday, they canceled the event, and just for competitions only and parents and coaches. So, even if we would have had this, the whole show still, we still wouldn't have been able to put it on. But yeah, like I said, we were, you know, kind of left in the dark. And I understand why, because I mean, the state and the Arnold people were back and forth. And, you know, they didn't really know what was going on either until they announced it. So that's kind of like what happened in a nutshell that led up to it from my standpoint. And I'm sure Terry might have some different stories as well. So that's how it all went down. And as soon as we were finding stuff out, we were letting you guys know. We were putting it on our team page. We were trying to announce it on the New Ohio Wrestling page. And we were trying to let people know as soon as we found out stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was just an insane, crazy, day turn of events. I mean, we had a friggin' premier show, in my opinion, booked. You know, like I said, we had the Glow Girls, we had Ken Anderson, we had Melendez. Our tournament was a top-notch tournament. In one group, we had James Avery, Kevin Zion, Eric Fallen, Eli McFly, Jake Ely, Ryan Piles, Alex Taylor, and Sless Taylor, who won last year's tournament. And then in the other group, we had Chuck the Truck Morris, Gary Dawson, Baker, Pat the Bruiser, Chris Moore, the first ever now champion Brandon Fields, Justin Kyle, Crosshairs Kelly. And I mean, so it was set up to be a fantastic tournament. We had the original Bullet Babe, Amber O'Neill, was going to make an appearance and do a match for us. Eric Smalls, it was going to do a match or two for us. I mean, we had a lot of fun stuff set up. A war title match was going to take place. RCW tag team title match was going to take place. And, like I said, it was going to be a great weekend. So it was like a punch in the gut when it was told that we weren't going to be able to do it. So that's kind of like my standpoint on it. And like I said, I don't know if Terry has any different stories that she wants to share about it. That's where it went down for me.
You were saying, yes, we were concerned financially, but we were also we are a family owned business. So our whole family was going to be there. And if this virus is so serious, did we want to risk our own family, our own children, parents to be there along with the wrestlers? Because they were saying to put the health before, you know, money. And in our situation, it was legit our family that could possibly be exposed to this. So that was another concern we had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were supposed to have throughout the weekend close to 80 people just for our group from the wrestling group of the Bricker building going to be in and out. So, I mean, that was, you know, essentially 80 people that we were sort of responsible for.
Right. In essence. And we want to entertain, but we don't want to risk anybody's health.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course not. I mean, you know, in some respects, I think, you know, and this is just me, but I think it's a serious issue, but I think people are blowing it up more than they should be blowing it up.
I agree with you, Jim, on that. I totally agree. I feel just from my own personal opinion, I think that we live in a society now today where there is somebody ready and willing and able the minute something goes haywire to make a big deal out of it. I mean, I don't, by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think that this is something that we should just completely ignore,
right?
Because I think this virus is still very dangerous for a certain segment of the population. But I feel like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. If the Arnold went on and somebody got sick, then all you're going to hear about from everybody on social media was, "Oh, the Arnold doesn't care about its fans." Right. The Arnold doesn't care about Columbus, you know. But yet, if you do take precautions and you cancel the event or do what they did, then you got people outraged. Oh, I traveled all this way from Kansas City. And, you know, I mean, it's a no-win situation, I think. And unfortunately, we, as well as many other people, were put in a no-win situation. I mean, think of all the vendors that, you know,
sure,
didn't get to shell their sell their wares, you know, and whatnot down there. So there's a lot of people impacted by what I presume is an unprecedented event that's, you know, never happened before in the history of the Arnold or many other events that might be impacted by this.
Right. Yeah. As far as I know, this is the first time it's happened for him. And they were doing interviews with Arnold throughout the weekend when he was in town, and he didn't look very happy.
No, he didn't.
And, yeah, they kept asking him. I know they had a contract through 2023 with the convention center, and they kept asking him if he was going to be back or if he was going to look for a different location. And he just kept saying, well, we'll talk about the next year's Arnold after this year's Arnold. He wouldn't give him a straight answer. So, but, yeah, he had that Terminator look on his face to where you could tell he just wasn't happy. And I can't blame him. That's a lot of money, you know, at stake.
Yeah.
And you got to believe that you can't fault the city. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, for years and years and years, this has been home to the Arnold. And this is, as I said, unprecedented. This has never happened before, you know, for whatever various reasons, you know. I got to feel like logically you got to sit down and go, it's no one's fault.
Right. Yeah,
so you can't punish a city for this.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's like you said, it's just a crappy situation. There's no really – one person at fault or one section or entity at fault. It's just, it is what it is.
Well, you know, it turned out to be a comedy of errors, miscommunications, the whole ball of wax. I mean, people were getting ahead of themselves. Some people weren't catching up. The whole situation could have been handled better if the lines of communication were cleaner than they were, in my opinion.
Yep.
Can I ask a quick question, Donnie? Can we go back to talking about the ring?
Yeah.
Because I don't think you've ever mentioned this, as far as I know. So why did this individual have this ring? Was he a worker? Was he in the business? Like, why was this person in possession of the ring?
From what I understand, he was like a super fan that was sort of in the business. Like, he made belts, like, and I'm not trying to insult the guy. I really don't want to sound mean when I say this, but he showed me like his belts and they weren't very good quality. So, I mean, I took him as just a super fan and, you know, that made, you know, belts and I understood later that he was trying to run his own wrestling event at one time, but he basically bought the ring for himself. It was like literally outside. He lived out in like the country area. It was literally outside when he set it up. He had it set up outside, outdoors. And when we went to look at it, he had it all tore down and stacked up beside his barn. And, I mean, weeds had grown over it. The wood was dry rotted. The steel was rusted. It was covered in mud. And, you know, he just said he didn't, you know, have a use for it anymore and didn't want it anymore. So, I mean, I don't know his reasoning because, I mean, I was actually kind of angered by it, if I'm being honest. Just because, I mean, maybe I shouldn't be, but I did. Just because I saw somebody just being disrespectful to a wrestling ring, and you know, wrestling rings like mean something to me. So I mean, like the more I stood there and talked to him, like the kind of the angrier I was getting. I was like, man, you know, if you wasn't, you know, if I wasn't that type of person, you know, I'd have done punched you in your face. I was like, you know, but yeah, I mean, I really don't know what his agenda for the ring was. I think it was just like a big super fan that bought it with whatever money from wherever he got money and played in it a little bit and decided he didn't want to play in it anymore, I'm guessing.
Okay.
I did find out later that he did have one wrestling show, but it had no trained wrestlers on it.
Yeah. It was like kind of like a backyard deal, I guess.
Backyard deal, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, yeah, like I said, we just found it. Actually, Al found it, to be honest. Al's the one that found it, and I didn't even know it was even being sold. And then he reached out to me and showed me that it was being sold. And we got to looking at it, and the dude wanted like $4,000 for it. And I was like, no, absolutely not. And then, you know, he basically tried to play hardball with us, and we were just like, all right, we'll just not buy it then. We don't want it. You know, we're not paying that much. And we ended up getting him down to a good price, which we paid a fair price. I mean, we got it for a good price, but we paid a fair price for the condition it was in.
Sure, sure. And then,
yeah, that's kind of like the backstory of Big Dirty. And so that's how she got her name, because like I said, when we saw it, she was covered in mud, weeds grown over, just, you know, nastiness. And you know, it was like it was just like a bad sight. It's like, if you're a fan of wrestling, if you love wrestling rings or have a passion for rings, you would have, it would have broke your heart to see this ring. It was like an abused pet or something, and sort of similar. It's like, and I was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, why would you leave a, you know, freaking $5,000 ring laying out beside of a barn like this? I mean, I was like legit getting heated. I was getting pissed.
So can you run down, can you run down all the injuries Big Dirty's caused?
Yeah, well, the first one was me and my shoulder back in June. Yeah, so I tore my shoulder, 2.5 tendons in my rotator cuff, and I tore my bicep completely in half working on her. And then that was back in June, so I had, you know, I had a long healing process. So I didn't get a chance to mess with it again. So then the second injury came when we was loading her up to take her over to Carnage, and my buddy Mike got his finger caught, his middle finger caught between the side rails, and literally crushed the tip of his finger bone. Like, his fingertip was smashed, and the top part of his finger bone was basically disintegrated. When they did the x-ray, you seen like the bone chips like floating in space inside of his finger. So, wow.
Jesus.
Yeah, so wow. he got his finger broke. And then, well, later on, I got my finger cut. I got it caught in, on something. And she got me again, cut my finger. And then, I mean, just numerous injuries. Like, you know, we've, like, dropped stuff on our foot, like metal and stuff. Where we go to lay it down, it lands on our toe. And, yeah, just, like, dumb stuff. It's just, like, crazy. But, yeah, she's claimed some victims already. And I don't see her stopping anytime soon.
I was going to say, Terry, are you afraid to get too close to the ring?
Yeah.
Touched her and interacted with her 4 times, and I have not sustained any injury.
Okay.
Yeah, and the bad thing about it, my nephew got in it yesterday when we were taking it down, and he said it was the softest bumping and the best bumping ring he's ever been in. He said the ropes felt great, the canvas, the padding, like all that felt great. He said it's probably one of the nicest rings I've ever been in. So, I mean, she's going to treat the wrestlers well. It's just the people that try to put her up and take her down, I think. She doesn't like to be touched too much, I guess.
That the ring crew is in for a rough night setting right. Big Dirty and tearing her down, huh?
Yeah, well, we might have to have them in full padded outfits and
suits of armor.
Right.
Yeah. She got left in the brain. She has trust issues.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it's been pretty comical. So, like I said, yeah, we came up with the name Big Dirty. And then, like I said, she seems like she's our Christine, like the movie Christine, because we make her beautiful and she, you know, hurts everybody, comes into contact with her. So we kind of, like, made her a Facebook page and going to have fun with it and see who all survives Big Dirty. And yeah, just something silly to have some fun with.
So, John.
Yes.
Your take on everything from your vantage point over the past week. I mean, you know,
well, I will admit I was one of the people that called Donnie, I think, right as it was happening, because I just happened to be at my home and I had the news on. I don't even know why. I just turned the news on for some odd reason. I was doing stuff around my house and they were talking about it. And then they said they were going to have they might have a live press conference, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then lo and behold, like that 6:15-ish, they started having this press conference, and I kind of actually was really stunned by it, to be honest. I kind of was like, whoa, okay, you know. And then I ended up calling Donnie, you know, and I think I even just kept it within a couple of minutes, because I was like, as I'm talking to him, I'm like, his phone's probably just going berserk. So I was like, you know what, dude, I'll just talk to you later. Never mind. Just want to know if you know. And got off the phone because, I just, like I said, I just knew he was going to be a busy guy. You know, Jim, I think I agree with you. I think that in all different situations, I think in life, sometimes you got to make a decisive decision. And I think with them kind of him and hawing around about everything's canceled. No, some things are going to go on. There's going to be spectators. No, there's not going to be spectators. You know, like, I think that kind of added to a little bit of the confusion. I think that if you're going to make a decision like this, let's make it and stick to it, you know, and not go back on it or be wishy-washy about it. You know, I think that from my perspective, I'm curious to see, because we talked off air, I know Emerald City Comic Con, which is out in Seattle, they have canceled their event, which I believe is coming up this weekend. I'm just wondering how other things are going to be impacted. And, you know, being wrestling fans like we are, you know, WrestleMania is coming up in 4 weeks, brings a lot of international people. You know, I know New Japan has postponed their New Japan Cup because of fear of the coronavirus. So I'm just wondering how that's going to be impacted. I wonder how the Olympics are going to be impacted, you know, which are happening later this summer if the coronavirus is still running, you know, rampant around the world. So I think it just kind of makes you kind of think about how our life is going to kind of change a little bit and how we kind of understand or how we, I should say, attend, you know, big events.
Well, you know, in a lot of cases, we've entered uncharted waters for something like this. And I promise you that after what happened with the Arnold this past weekend, there will be contingencies in place moving forward. At least that's my opinion. But, you know, everybody's going to rethink and put some form of contingency in place because of what's going around. I mean, they have to.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Something's got to be done. It's just going to be, I guess, curious to see what they do. I'll go that way.
Right. And it's going to be trial and error, just like it was at the Arnold. I mean, until people get comfortable being able to handle this situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I work for the Ohio State University Wexner Medical Center, and we are training for our nurses, staff, because of the virus. So, I mean, everybody in every facet of the world is being affected by it.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely. I mean, I have friends that, in fact, today I was supposed to have lunch with one, and he was like, I'm sorry, man, I totally forgot. His company is literally, like, making people stay home to work to see if their computer infrastructure could hold, you know what I mean? Like, if they can hold everybody being on their computers at home rather than, so they're like rolling out division by division, just trying it a day at a time to see, you know, if that infrastructure could hold steady, that if they needed to shut down for a couple of weeks, everybody could work from home and not
That's
be impacted.
That's what I'm talking about. Sign me up.
Yeah, me too. But it's affecting, my job as well. You know, I source things from all over the country, and sometimes I have to source things from overseas. And most of everything coming from overseas is being slowed down dramatically.
Really?
Yes.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, I think they're a little overcautious, but it's better to err on that side than the opposite.
Hmm.
So they've slowed everything down because they're afraid the virus, even though it can't live outside the body that long, could somehow get you when you get a package from China.
And I'm sure that some of the hoopla doesn't help matters in that.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like the conspiracy theories that are floating around about, you know, where this came from and all that jazz too, yeah, doesn't help matters.
Why it was created and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you can get it from this or that. And it's like, what, you know, I just saw a thing about, like, on, I think, Inside Edition or something, there was advertisement for the diet you should be on to help you survive the coronavirus. So I'm like, oh, seriously? Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I heard a commercial this morning. They can do something with your venting in your house to help kill the germs.
So. What? Oh, really?
Yes, that was the
for
new
a low, low price of $19.99. Crazy. So, but anyway, from what I heard about, I got reports from the people, like the competitors and the competition stuff, and they said that that part went real well. And so I'm happy for that. I'm happy, like, all the competitions and stuff were still successful. Mm-hmm. And so we're just going to plan for next year. And it kind of put a, you know, a lit a fire in my butt because we had a, like I said, we had a pretty good show, a top-notch show, in my opinion. So now it just motivates us to make an even bigger one next year, an even better one. So so we're, like I said, we're glad that they got to get some stuff in and get their competitions in. And as for all the spectator stuff and all the vendors, it's unfortunate because I know there was a lot of people that lost money, you know, us included. We lost a little bit of money too. And that's just, you know, it's just business. That's, you know, there's no way of around it sometimes. And so I just hope next year it's everybody comes back at full steam and bigger and better. And that's what we plan on doing. So next year's show, if I have anything to do with it, it's going to be the best we've ever done, in my opinion.
Well, now the focus has got to be kind of switching gears, Donnie, right? Because the Ohio State Fair is coming up in, what, 5 months?
It's July 31st and August 1st.
Okay.
And that's another. And the reason we put so much attention on these is because they're such big events, just like the Arnold. You know, a normal wrestling show is 2.5 to 3 hours. The Arnold, we have to do 16 hours in 2 days. So, I mean, it's not something that – it's not like it's an event we can just put together in 2 months, you know, like a normal wrestling show. We're off and on planning this Arnold for about 9 months.
We have meetings and conferences, and we have to go over contracts. And like a normal wrestling show, you can pretty much do what you want. But with us, we can't. We have to contract. We have to tell them – every person that's going to attend that function months ahead. So when people cancel or can't make it, it does make it difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the same with the fair, like this year, we're just doing 2 days, but we're doing two events a day. So we're basically doing two wrestling shows on Friday, two wrestling shows on Saturday, 3 hours a piece. So again, that's 12 hours. So yeah, we're starting to plan for that now and get stuff going with the fair, which we've already actually, we started last year because they wanted us to come back immediately after the first day. But and then before Christmas time even came, we had already signed a new contract with the fair. And so, I mean, things have already started progressing and we've already got plans. We're going to have a live band with us this year to play, you know, an hour before the events. And then in between the two events, we're going to have vendors. So if there's any vendors out there that's got wrestling related items, reach out to us because we're taking vendors, we're selling vendor space. And so we're going to make this one a bigger, better event again, like last year. So we're going to try to up the ante again. So we're starting planning now, which 5 or 6 months, 4 months, however many it's away is, you know, we need that kind of time. Like I said, it's not something we can do in 2 months. And, but in the meantime, we also are starting to do, you know, have our eyes open for another building and a location to do a permanent, wrestling events. Cause we want to basically get it to where we're running every 2 months. We want to start out at every other month and see how that goes. So we are looking for a new location and we're in talks with, Parks and Recs right now about some of their buildings. We got our eyes on a couple other places that we see here and there. And, so we're on the lookout for a new location to do more events and so we can start running real, you know, more regularly because, you know, we're right now we're just doing the Arnold and the fair and we're ready to go that next step. And we just need a place to do it is the only thing. So we're in, like I said, we're in talks with Parks and Recs right now about using some of their facilities. And then while we're doing that, we're going to start planning our first, going to start continue to plan for the fair events. And so we got basically four wrestling shows in 2 days we got to start prepping for.
We're also working with other promotions. Our belt being defended. It was just defended a couple weeks ago with RCW. So we're working to keep our name out there and keep, you know, refer our fans to other places to go to watch professional wrestling. We want to support the independent wrestling world. Mm-hmm.
So, as everybody stares blankly into the screen.
That's the magic of editing, Jim. The magic of editing.
I think we're still recovering from last week, to be honest. But I know as soon as we found out that they had canceled the Arnold and that we weren't going to be there, it was like a total just stress dump just started happening. I just like started getting tired. And I was like, oh, this is so, yeah, it sucks so bad. So it's been an emotional week or so. I think it's just taken an effect on everybody.
I was worried about you two driving home Friday night.
I had a great time staying up by myself.
I mean, it's a Jeffersonville. Then I fell asleep. I almost. I was 20 minutes or 30 minutes away from home.
Yeah, but we found a Taco Bell down there in Hamilton on the way through, and yeah. I got me one of my Skittle strawberry freezies, so that woke me up a little bit.
I mean, it's just a lot, because for 9 months we had debated what is the best decision, what direction do we want the company to go in, and working with the military and adaptive sports, and then having, you know, working with Mark Koval and having him bring in Mr. Anderson, and then I don't know, it's just, you're like, what can we do to make it better? We don't want to let our fans down, we don't want to let Arnold down, because we do have to report to Arnold, you know, like what we did, what our numbers was, what we're going to do to make it better the following year. So we're like, what can we do? And we finally get all the pieces, and somehow all the stuff just happens, and Bonnie does his magic, and it just all turns out amazing. And then we're like, oh no, the jeopardy of it not happening now, this is horrible. And then with it all shut down, and you know, a stress between our marriage, like are we doing the right thing, and we're both going different directions trying to get everything together, like I'm the food and the people and all that side, and he's wrestling and like getting the wrestlers in the ring and all that. And like by the time we seen you, Jim, and Chris, we were like, oh my gosh, we had just went through this whole emotion, high, low, this sucks, but it's...
Yeah, we just needed to get away for a night.
Sure, I'm glad you guys came down.
And then what did we do? We went and watched wrestling. So what are you going to do?
That's how we covered. Our date night was a wrestling show. It usually is.
Same here.
For 27 years, yes. That's our date night.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Shelby went and got contacts today so she can see when she's wrestling.
Oh, nice.
Very cool.
Hopefully she doesn't have one pop out during a match.
Mm-hmm. It happened to me.
Yes. Well, I bet that happens to a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, good.
Or they think your tooth got knocked out, Donnie, and you didn't have it to begin with.
Yeah. That was yeah. Yeah.
But, so, we've talked about the owner, we've talked about the fair, and we've talked about a possible new venue. Where do we go from here?
Like I said, just one step at a time. We're just going to keep doing what we do and see what happens. And
we're all looking for the muscular dystrophy. We want to do a fundraiser for them, so we're working that together too.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, it was Donnie's cousin that passed away. He was 10. He had muscular dystrophy. He lost the battle. So that really motivated us to get that awareness out there. And we told their family that we really want to do a benefit for them.
Oh, that's cool.
So that when we, when we get a location in a building, that'll be definitely one of our events for sure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Because I didn't get to come into the ring in my shiny red patent leather shoes.
Yep.
This time around.
Yeah. And speaking of, we were down there with you all night Friday night. I had your Wrestle Horror and your New Ohio Wrestling t-shirts and polos in the van, and we forgot. we got all the way back home Friday night, and Terry was getting the stuff out of the van. She was like, we didn't give Jim his shirts.
Oops. Yeah.
We drove him down there. We just didn't give them to you.
So did you buy these shoes, Jim, specifically for the Arnold?
For ring announcing. And
okay, just for ring announcing. But you were going to debut them at the Arnold?
I was, and it was actually it's actually Chris who bought them for me.
Okay.
And she said, like the ones on Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the red.
They are red. Cap toes, patent leather red.
They'll shine good in the summer sunlight at the fair then.
Yeah. She got me suspenders, a bow tie, and a pocket square. And I spent more on two dress shirts for this suit than I paid for those shoes.
Wow. Okay.
Well, I'm a big man, so I had to go to DXL. I can't forget the socks that go with the shoes too.
Sure, you gotta have good socks to go along with them.
Oh yeah, well I got two great pairs of socks. Yeah. Just wait.
Here's what's gonna happen: the fair's gonna come. Jim's gonna show me his socks. I'm gonna forget about this conversation. What the hell are you doing? What are you doing? Oh,
what the hell's on your ankles?
They're polos by Ralph Lauren.
Ooh.
most of that was Chris's idea, but you should have seen the dinner jacket she bought me, but it was too small.
Oh.
It was this god-awful red paisley sequined nightmare. But it didn't fit.
And you were like, thank God.
Exactly. He was like, oh, damn it.
Yeah. Oh. I really wanted that too.
Yeah.
It came close to fitting, but not enough.
Yeah.
I should have made me wear it if it fit. So, okay, since we're just babbling now. What's the dates for the Ohio State Fair show again?
The July 31st and August the 1st, and we're doing events from 1 to 4, and then from 6 to 9. And then from 4 to 6, they usually do a parade, so we'll be in the parade in between the events too.
Will it be at the same venue at the fair, like that small little, like, right there by the – I think that's the Ohio building, isn't it?
Yeah, we'll be in the Showplace Pavilion. But the good thing is the whole place will be ours. There will be no boxing in there this year. So we'll have the whole area. That's why we're bringing in the live band and some vendor, because we'll have the space for it. And plus, you know, like the band will be playing when we're not running. And then the vendors will be there. So it kind of keeps people going in and out of the pavilion, which is a good thing. Kind of keeps – so we're trying to – think of things that'll help keep people to stay in there, because I mean we draw them in there good and stuff when the wrestling's going on, but it seems like as soon as there's a break in the action, it's like roaches when you turn the kitchen light on, they just scatter, you know, and it's empty. So we're trying to bring stuff in to keep people to stay in the pavilion, at least keep their attention. And then we were like, you know, we know a buddy of mine has a band, so we're like, a live band would do it, you know, get people's attention at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do that, but yeah, it'll be in the same place, Showplace Pavilion. But you know, again, we won't have to deal with the boxing ring being on the one side, taking up the half. We'll have the whole place to ourselves for that weekend. And so, like I said, we're going to try to do it bigger and better than we did last year, as well with the fair as well. And just like our goal with the Arnold, and so we're the same with the fair. We want to try to improve every year.
Yeah, and thanks to our fans and our wrestling, you know, crew and wrestlers, we were able to prove to them that we're legit, that it's great entertainment, family friendly, and we got a bigger spot because we were stuffed in there. I mean, we had thousands of people come through there. It was amazing.
It was.
Yeah, and for an event such as the Ohio State Fair, you know, it's nice to be down there, because I think we talked last year about it. It had been, what, 8 years, nine years since it was
eight
wrestling?
To 10 years, or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
It was 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's great to be back, you know, and to have that, you know, for all the fans and even casual fans, you know, to stop by and check out NOW.
Yep. Even if they're just trying to get out of the heat and the sun and want to sit down and eat their
food.
Yeah, they want to eat their elephant ear or whatever and take a 5-minute rest break. You know, come on in, watch them wrestling while you're doing it. Why not?
Don't forget the deep fried cheese.
The fans that impressed me was we had like 10 police officers just standing in a line watching the show. I was like, wow.
Well, I think at the fair they deep fry everything, to be honest, Jim.
They do. I mean, I tracked it down for deep fried macaroni and cheese.
Oh.
Last year. Because Shelby's, I'm going to tell you guys a little secret about Shelby. This is just between you, me, and the listeners, okay? Go up to her sometime and ask her about Mackie T's.
Mackie T's?
Mackie T's. Okay.
I think when she starts wrestling, I'm going to make a sign and sit out in the crowd, and it's going to say Mackie T's.
Start the chant, Donnie. Yeah. Mackie T's.
That could be a good gimmick name.
All right.
But she's going to kill me for that, you know, you realize that.
Right. You should have told me that Friday when I was up there, or down there.
Yeah, I didn't think about it at the time. Besides, she was in the ring for a hot minute. I mean.
Mm-hmm. And another thing you can't forget about the fair is the refillable icy cups.
And the tea.
Yep. Even though I didn't get my icy this weekend like I was planning on, looking forward to.
Well, you go buy – you got 7-Elevens up there?
Oh, yeah. There's icies everywhere.
Well, there you go.
I'm just too lazy to go get them.
Where do they sell them, ICs? Because, like, and I ask that because in my lifetime, they were always synonymous with Kmart.
Yeah. Well, you can buy them like the Taco Bell has theirs now, their freezes.
Okay.
And then you can get them there. And then I know at the fair, it was actually the booth that was right beside us at the pavilion. So I just had to like walk out of the pavilion to the very first food booth, and I got my icy refilled. So that was convenient.
All right.
And I'm at Sam's Club too. I just got Haley one.
Sam's Club, 7-Eleven. I mean, you can get them lots of places now.
Well, it's a Slurpee at 7-Eleven.
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. All right. But
I remember as a kid going to various little convenience stores and getting ices.
Yeah, the actual brand ices.
Yeah,
the polar bear on the front. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what Donnie had at the fair.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right.
It was the polar bear one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. See, for like I said, with my experience, it was always at the like the Kmart. Snack booth at the Kmart. Yeah. Yep. Back when those used to be a thing.
Right.
Kmart's and lunch counters and Kmart's. Both. Yeah. You know.
Oh, let's go a little further back. You ever been to a Woolworth's lunch counter?
I have. Yes, I have. They also had ices, too.
Yes. My mom used to work at Woolworth's.
Really?
Yes.
There you go. I remember Woolworth's.
I just need to get Icy to sponsor New Ohio Wrestling. That's all I need. That's what I need to do.
There you go.
Put them over.
Just send Donnie ices.
Yeah.
I'm going to increase that insurance policy.
Well, I mean, that took a way right turn.
It did. We're covering all the bases tonight. All the bases.
It's on clubs. Next is pizza. So we went and Icy's next is pizza if he's directing here.
Well, you know, there's a pizza place down here that makes pizzas in the shape of a heart. Why couldn't they make a pizza in the shape of the NOW? Logo.
Oh.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sweet.
I would say that it would look nice to on the mat if you had the Icy logo and then like a pizza place's logo.
Yep, you, there you go.
Pretty tough there.
You know. Yeah, I'm all for it.
You look like AAA down in Mexico with all the sponsors all over the mat.
Hey, whatever it takes to get the job done.
Wow, this has been an interesting night, let me tell you.
We just had to get on here and get it all off our chest.
Well, yeah. I mean, it helps to blow off some steam. I get it.
And I'm sure like a lot of people wanted to know what happened last week and had questions of how it all went down and what everybody was going through and dealing with and whatnot.
Sorry, I'm trying to avoid getting sick.
Yeah. See? If you'd have went last weekend, look what you'd have done.
But it's not the coronavirus.
Exactly.
No need to panic. It's fine.
It's the lack of coronavirus. But I told you what I don't know if I told you guys this last week or not, but when somebody has a coronavirus, they get to hook up somebody with Lyme disease.
Oh.
Well, I'm going to go before I start coughing again.
Yep.
I was going to say, you need to, on that lame joke, you should just wrap this up.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, New Ohio Wrestling, July 31st, August 1st, Ohio State Fair, Showplace Pavilion. This show is going to be, is going to knock the socks off of last year, so, in my opinion. So, be there. Look on the Ohio State Fairgrounds website. Call Donnie. No.
Call him many multiple times.
Email him at the WrestleHorror email address or his Gmail address or whatever. I'm done talking. I'm Meat Hook Jim. The Hoovers, John Orlando, thank you guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
We will talk to you all soon. Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets. Facebook.com/WrestleHorror. Instagram @WrestleHorror. Twitter @WrestleHorror. On our YouTube channel, the Wrestle Horror Channel. Also, you can find us at www.WrestleHorror.com.